to do this morning. So, Rick, you and Kelly Weatherly, we have this is a special day because Rick's thinking. Bring it on up, Rick. And I'm not going to talk on this. Y'all are. We're recognizing Kay Bays has been serving as an elder here for years and years. You guys give Kay a hand. We're so thankful for her. Yeah, I know. No hugging. Yeah. I know. You're going to get to clap. Sorry, Kay. They're doing a standing ovation. It's no way. There's no way we can show our appreciation for Kay. She stepped in and served this body at a time when we desperately needed her. And she's been here since the beginning, so she's been here for a long time. And she's not going anywhere. It's just a new season. There's a new season in her life. And I believe that her time, she believes that her time as an elder has come to an end. And she's going to continue serving in all the other ways, which are too many to even mention. We have a great time. Actually, what we do, we serve on funerals, and it's our funnest thing we do, isn't it, Kay? We're weird, we're strange, but it is true. And so Rick and Kelly are remaining as elders, and we got Kay a bouquet from, it's funny, she always gets the flowers from Petals and Plants over there, and so they know you really well. And I walked in to order this for her, and, you know, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And the lady that runs the place, she'd seen me, so she knew I was with you. She said, "What's this for?" I said, "It's for Kay." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Leave it up to me." And I'm like, good idea, because I was thinking a funeral vase, like one of those big horseshoes or something. And she made this beautiful. That's not a vase, but it's beautiful, and she knew what she was doing. So it's just a small token of our appreciation for her. But Kelly, I've asked Kelly and Rick if they would share a little bit.
Well, this is hard. I've been real selfish about this because Kay's one of my very good friends. And I've really been praying on this for a few days and was just getting nothing. And this morning I walked into the bedroom, and this song was on, and God said, this is for Kay, but it's also for me to release Kay.
Are you going to sing?
No.
Okay.
It says, he's got a plan. This is part of it. He's going to finish what he started. He's got a plan. This is part of it. He's going to finish what he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not done. And I knew, because the things that Kay has in her life now, I've already seen huge growth, like just, it's unbelievable just in the short amount of time, the growth and the things that you're putting your hand to now. And so, like, I knew I just didn't want to give you up.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful for this time with you, and just, it's just been amazing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you.
So Kay, when I think about you, I cannot disconnect Kay from compassion. I think of a story about a little puppy chasing a train of compassion, and the little puppy chases and finally grabs the train. Now what? So I want you guys to have compassion on the compassionate one, because she feels things that are so deep and sometimes doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't know what it looks like. But God is not finished with what he's doing.
Come on. Yeah, thank you, Rick. So let's lay hands on Kay and get something from her, because she's deposited so much in our body through the years, and she's going to continue. This is just a new season, right? So Holy Spirit, we thank you for this one, this daughter of yours. And Lord, we receive all that Kay is into our body, into our lives, God, and that we're just thankful for this season that you gave her to be a part of the elder team. And God, that you have plans, you're already working, her future's already started, God. And so I just thank you for that and for everything that's she's going to bring life to from now on. And I just declare that, Kay, that your touch ignites a light and a life inside of people. And we just thank you, Kay.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kay.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. I know. I know, okay. We're going to, we're doing our best. Yeah, Rick's in charge of that. Obviously, he's a man, so he left it. he just walked off and left it. That's all right. Okay, we have one other announcement, which is nothing to do with that, before we dismiss the children. I know the children, History Makers people are like anxious. We had in October of last year, for those of you that were here then, we brought to the church, Lisa and the finance team brought to the church where we were at financially as a body, as a church. And at that time, we knew if something didn't change in the next quarter, the next few months, we were going to have to make some drastic changes here at Grace Fellowship. And I believe that things financially have not improved since October. And so one of the things, and actually Pastor Tim knew this in October, I guess. He in his heart, he knew it. If things didn't change, that he was going to have to step down from his salary as a pastor. Not step down who he is, what he's doing, nothing like that. But as a, drawing a salary, he would have to. He's gonna have to go find a full-time job because of the things in life, right? And so that's what he's doing. And so he announced that to the leadership team at a leadership meeting a week ago. But it's not. He's leaving. He's still going to be Tim Bays. He's still going to disciple. He's still going to encourage. He's still leading our small groups. He's still a pastor. He's just not a paid staff anymore. And it's just a result of where we're at financially. We knew that this was coming if something didn't change. And unfortunately, it's remained the same. We were on the year last year, we were over $20,000 in the red financially. And we had, God gave us good finance team. We had money saved up to meet those kinds of needs. So that doesn't mean that we weren't paying our bills. We're paying our bills, but we need to adjust and be good stewards. And so that's just where we're at. And so I just need to announce that to you guys so y'all wouldn't be in the dark, because we told you we'd let you know what happened. Well, after October, nothing happened. So financially, that is. God's moving in power, but nothing happened financially. So I just wanted to let y'all know that that's happened. And Tim's talking to people about a full-time job right now. And we'll see. We don't know any details other than that at the time, okay? So, History Makers, you guys, back door is Miss Lisa and Miss Sharon. Chris, are you helping today? Oh, mercy. Kids, y'all have fun. Dan, I left my notes on my desk. Would you get those for me, please? And leave my wallet alone. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm glad I left my notes on my desk. I know what I'm going to talk about. And we're still in Judges chapter 6, if you want to open your Bibles there, if you want to follow along, if you're online. We've been talking about this for a while, and I'll tell you, there's a secret hidden in Ephesians. When we were looking at Ephesians, there's a mystery hidden since the foundation of the world. And Paul said it again in Colossians, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the Jewish people, when you think about the way that when Jesus was on earth and when he was alive, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they held Scripture at very, very high esteem. It literally was everything to them. You know, Jesus as a little boy, those guys memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. It's like they committed major, really the entire book, Psalms, to memory. The Scripture was where they found their history. It was their it wasn't just a constitution, it was who they were. And in Scripture, they found God. It was holy, it was divine. And in Scripture, they found their future, they found the promises. They found the Messiah. Thank you, Dan. And I believe that when we look at that with Jesus, that's what happened. And I told you last week, I just said it in passing, but something changed when the Son of God was born and brought into the earth. You see, when Jesus was born, he found out who he was in Scripture. He wasn't just reading about history. He wasn't just reading about some abstract ideas. He wasn't just looking at a system of government and a system of laws and a system of morality. Jesus Christ saw himself in Scripture. And as a little boy, when he was memorizing things, it was about him personally. And I believe when you look in the New Testament and what you find out, when you see the New Testament, Jesus made a declaration. He said that you're his brother, you're his sister. He said that you were born of the same womb as him. When he was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. And now because of him, you also are a son of God. And so, you know, I think you and I have to start addressing Scripture the way Jesus did. Honor it. Believe it. It's true. It's where you find out who you are. Just like Jesus. Led by the Holy Spirit, Jesus could read the same Scriptures that no one else could see him in, and he saw himself. And one day, y'all know this passage, right? In Luke 4, he stood up and he proclaimed, that guy y'all been waiting on, your destiny, the kingdom of God on earth, that's me. And they eventually killed him for that. And I want to tell you, the biggest struggle you and I have is believing who God says we are. You know, that was the struggle Jesus had. You know, everything in the world wants to tell you that you aren't. But the story, the message, the gospel found in Scripture was his story. He was what Scripture, all of Scripture was pointing to the Christ. And his story, by your adoption and by faith, his story becomes our story. No, we're not the Savior, but the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ lives in us. And that's the mystery God kept hidden since before the world. When you look at that, you ask yourself, well, who am I? Who are you? Are you your history? Are you your failures? Are you your past? Are you what the government says you are? Are you what science says you are? Who do you listen to define who you are? Are you listening to the media, pop culture? Are you listening to those black voices in your own mind that keep pointing out all that you're not? Or all that you can't be, or all that you... Do you listen to that, or do you listen to the voice of God? Jesus chose to hear the Holy Spirit, and he looked at Scripture, and he saw himself. You see, that's the image. And you know, it's interesting. Where we finally end up, depends upon the trajectory that was set when we were created. You see, I think we need to look at the truth is in Scripture. The Jewish people had no problem with that. They just couldn't see Jesus in it. The truth, the Scripture is true. You know who you are? That, you know, trajectory, that's a hard word for some of you guys to say. I empathize with you. It's a hard word for me to say. But I coached a girls' softball team once. Like 12, 13-year-old girls when I was in like 18 years old. I had so much patience and I was so kind to those young ladies. I feel sorry for them. I think some of them are damaged as they're ever. Well, I had a second baseman. She was an athlete. Like that little girl, nothing could get by her. She was like a vacuum cleaner. James and Sharon's little girl, Ellie, reminds me of her. She was something. But she had this problem. She could never figure out when to let a ball. You know when you're throwing a ball? I'm not a good baseball player. But you know when you're throwing a ball, you throw it? Well, you got to let go of the ball somewhere. Like your arm's going in a circle. And somewhere in this circle, you let go of the ball. And where you let go of it will determine where it goes. And that poor girl, you know, she's going to throw to second base. She's throwing to Patrick on the back row. She'd be like, whack, and hit the ground. And I'm like, oh, I was so patient. And then she'd throw it up in the air. And it's like she could do it straight, but you never knew in this arc somewhere she determined the trajectory of that ball. I couldn't get it. I couldn't, you know, there was no YouTube, so I couldn't even Google it to find out how to teach someone to do that. So you know what I found out she could do? She could throw underhanded. And so she was the only second baseman in the league that would scoop up a ball and go and throw it like that. And she's so good, she got it to first base in time. But you see, the trajectory of your life was set before the world was ever created. When God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit made a decision, I want you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and I want you, and I want you, and I want you, and I'm going to knit you together. And guess what? I'm creating you. I'm setting your trajectory right now. You are created in my image, which is a powerful, there is a powerful drumbeat beating inside of every one of our chest. This morning, I'm going to pick on the worship team, but they were practicing earlier this morning, and I'm in my office, and the drummer was playing the drums, and to be honest, the team was needing a little help on getting it right, and then I hear this powerful drum beat, like boom, 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 and all of a sudden, the team came together. It was power, and David, you drove the worship at that moment, right? Guys, there's a drumbeat inside of you that is your, some of us are fighting with everything in us to disagree with who God says we are. We think we're no good. We think we can't do it. We think the world is more powerful than God. We think the economy is more powerful. We think our past is more powerful than God. We think the way we were raised is more powerful than God. I'm telling you, you need to look at Scripture and look for you by the power of the Holy Spirit in Scripture and quit letting your past or your massive brain, some of you are walking around, your head's leaning over, your brain's so big, get over it. Your brain is nothing compared to his brain, and his brain determined who you were before you were ever created. And he set a beat inside of your heart, and you and I just need to participate and line up with his beat. And if we do, worship will be powerful. Which, what's our lives? Our lives are worship to him. We all have a different beat. It's unique to us, and it's inside of us. So God created man in his image, male and female he created them. Don't let the world tell you there's other genders. There's not. Do you believe Scripture? Male and female he created them. And then God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. He gave us dominion in this world. He's presented you and me. We all have gardens that God has created so we can tend them and create a harvest. Whether your garden is one person or thousands of people, whether it's one little speck of ground or a massive nation, whatever your garden is, God created you and empowered you through the power of the Holy Spirit to manage your garden. And it'll bring life and joy and peace to the world. The world is in chaos until God's children put their hands on it. Go back and read Genesis. God created the garden. It was a mess. And he led Adam and Eve. He said, guys, here, tend this. I've given you authority over the birds of the air and the fish in the sea and the animals on the land. And take dominion over this. Now we know we do that with God. It's his life and my body. That's why, you know, Alan, are you going to ever get off that? I don't know. Did Paul ever get off of Christ in you, the hope of glory? I don't think so. Guys, don't get distracted. You were created with a purpose. And we've been studying Gideon, right? I'm getting to Gideon. I'm getting there. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said real clearly, love is the foundation of everything. And the way he's in the Father and the Father's in him and the Holy Spirit's in him, the same way he's in us and we're in him. And the very foundation of everything was God wanted us to be one with him the way he's one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that's his purpose. That's what we were created for, right? And as we're looking at Gideon here, I said all that just to say this. I know Gideon's story, we know it. Most of you know it. Judges chapter 6. But Have you ever read his story looking for you there? Looking for Jesus there? Because you're in that story. You see, Gideon, when you look at Gideon, ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and let me see who you say I am. This isn't about pride. This is about humility. God defines you, not you. Not your neighbor, not TV. Who are you? Not your behavior doesn't define you. Your behavior isn't greater than him. Your lack isn't greater than him. You see, you look at Gideon. So ask God to open your eyes. I wrote this down. To reveal, as you look at Gideon, that God would give you revelation to see you in that story. It's a true story. Absolutely 100% true. But I believe God was speaking to us. The whole Bible was written to reveal Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you are in me. So, where was Gideon? Well, he was hiding from his enemies. He was scared. That's the first thing, right? That's the first thing we find out. Israel was being oppressed. It had fallen into huge disarray. It was like the enemy had come on them like a flood, you know? It was like a hailstorm that you can't escape is beating you to the ground. It's like you're getting hit from every side and your eyes, you can't even see where the blows are coming from. You're getting hit so much. That's where Israel was when you read it. And that was Gideon. And so he's threshing wheat in a wine press. He was hiding from his enemies so they wouldn't take his produce. They wouldn't take the harvest that his family had. Now, so the question might be, God, what am I hiding from? What's fear doing to me? You might be thinking, well, I'm not hiding from anything. Okay. Let's read the story and let's see. Read the story, ask Holy Spirit to show you if fear is impacting your life. And we might be surprised, right? The first thing God said to Gideon, the first thing he says to us, and we hear people preach this and we sort of make fun of them. I do and we do, whatever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're the head and not the tail. You're conquerors in Christ Jesus. And then we lose and we fail and we fall and we get beat down and we don't see a victory. Well, the angel of the Lord came to Gideon while he's threshing wheat in a pit where you can't thresh wheat. And the angel of the Lord says to this guy who's living in constant fear and oppression, I wrote it down because I can't remember the exact word. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What a bunch of hogwash. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It's like we've had prophecies about Grace Fellowship. We're going to be a light to the whole state of Arkansas and impact the spiritual atmosphere in a whole state. And we have 60 people here. I don't know, whatever. Well, what's up with you, God? That's what Gideon said. He's like, God, I'm not a mighty warrior. You know what a mighty warrior does? He rescues others. He sets captives free. He leads an army to defeat the Midianites. That's what they do. You know what you were created for? You're created to bring light into the darkness. You're created for that. You're a mighty warrior. Just like Gideon. So you might want to listen to God. The Lord's with you. The Lord is with you. His life, my body. His life, my body. Now, there's a process that we have to go through to see this through to the end. And that's what we're going to look at in Gideon. We're saying, okay, God, what's the first step? Well, let's look at this scripture. That's Judges chapter 6, verse 22. Now, Gideon was just like me and you. You've argued with the Lord when you didn't really realize you were arguing with the Lord. You thought you were just doing something in your mind. You know, the Lord said yes, and you said no. Have you ever thought about that? You said no to the Lord God Almighty? Never. Oh, yeah, we do it all the time. Okay, so when Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, when he realized this wasn't just an angel like Gabriel, you know, he realized this was Jesus. Gideon's like, I don't think he said it this way. If it was me, I would say it like this. When Alan realized that it was the angel of the Lord, that it was Jesus, I went, oh my God, God, what did I just do? Well, he said, alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. No, he thought he was toast. That's like the lowest private in the army is talking to a five-star general and smarts off to him. That guy better be ducking before he says anything. He would not do it. Guys, Gideon said that, and then he saw the Lord face to face. Key point. You know, every time you see the Lord face to face, your life is going to change, not his. You, me. Well, what do you need in this world? You need to see him face to face. You need to make it a point to get face to face with God all the time. Because when you do, everything changes. So the Lord said to Gideon, peace, shalom, rest, provision. Shalom, that word means way more than just an inner peace feeling. It's everything come into place in your life, Gideon. The Lord said, peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar there, and he called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah the Abiezrites. Peace. Peace is the very first step to fulfilling your destiny in the earth. It's the foundation. It's the rock. You know, you look at other scriptures and it's all over scripture. Jesus said this, right? Peace in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. He is peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. But the first step is peace. And the only place you can get peace is Him. You see, why is it so important to be face to face with Jesus? Because without that foundation, He's our rock. He's the foundation. Peace is not something you get and then you go on. Peace is like the foundation of your life. And once you stand on that rock, you can't be shaken. Now God can build something in your life once you stand on Him. But the first place is you have to stand on Him. If you don't have peace, if your life isn't full of peace, and none of us are full of peace, it's because we have more peace every time we're with Him. Every time we're with Him. Every time we're face to face with Him. More and more that rock gets built. And He's the foundation of our world. He's the foundation stone. I love some of the old hymns because they're right. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Absolutely true. What are you building your life on? It's Him. He is peace. Do you have peace? If you don't, you need to get in His face. Not in a smart alecky way. Y'all know what I mean. You need to get face to face with Jesus. And you'll have peace. And so that's a big... So the second thing we need is freedom from fear. Well, you know, it's like in that movie, Braveheart, right? Where they and it's all you can look at in America, when we stood up one day and we said, we don't want to pay taxes anymore without representation. We want freedom. You see, we were created to be free. We need freedom. You know, I loved it. You know, in the movie, they had that guy standing there with all that blue stuff on his face, and he's standing up and he says, freedom! Because that rings true in us. You need freedom. I need freedom. And if we're not free from fear, we'll never be able to accomplish what God has created us to do. We'll never be able to walk and express what God has created us to express. The first thing that has to happen is peace. The next thing that has to happen is we have to be free from fear. Well, do you deal with fear? Let me ask you some questions, right? Because what we're going to find out with Gideon is the freedom of the nation of Israel from that oppression began with the freedom of one person. Gideon had to be free from fear. And he was struggling. He was afraid. He thought he was going to die. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Peace, don't be afraid. And it's funny, Jesus said the same thing in John 14:27. He said, I'm giving you peace. Now don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. You see, fear is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's a big difference. Fear is a demonic presence that wants to control you, wants to devour you. Fear is something that the human race deals with all the time. And the trouble is, the enemy does it in such a tricky way that a lot of us depend upon fear for our future. We depend upon fear to protect us. We depend upon fear to keep us from being hurt. Fear is actually, here's what happens. And so you need to ask yourself a question. Is there any place in your life where you're allowing fear? That's the question. You're allowing fear to have access, to have a hook in your life. You see, because I think sometimes inspired by fear, that's an interesting word, inspired. You know, we're inspired by a lot of different things. Now, we know that Jesus is everything. But sometimes we allow fear to inspire us. Inspired by fear, we try to protect ourselves from pain. You see, we get hurt, and then fear steps in. And fear actually becomes our protector from being hurt. You know, fear does things like this. Well, you've been hurt before when you do that. You don't want to do that again. So here, let's watch for these signs that you can see so that you can protect yourself. Ouch. You know what fear does? Fear has us protect ourselves. How's that working out? It's almost like letting a thief protect your belongings from being stolen. And so you invite a thief to protect your stuff. Well, he'll know about how people steal. I said, oh yeah, he'll know how people steal and he'll do it to you. And fear is like that. So fear really does inspire us to work harder, to provide more for ourselves, to watch out, to plan ahead. It's like fear actually can make you think that fear is what's keeping your family safe. Fear is what's keeping you successful because you're always afraid of whatever might happen. So you watch the news, you study, you work hard, and all of a sudden, fear slips in and becomes the source of your life when, oh wait, it's on Christ the solid rock I stand. See how the enemy slips in? And he does it under the guise that he's actually going to protect you from being hurt. He's going to protect you. You know how you can tell you do it, that it's fear? You worry. You fret. It consumes your feelings and your emotions. It does all these things. It gives you an impending sense of doom. Isn't that funny? That you and me, children of the living God, live with this sense of doom fixing to fall on us all the time. Where does that come from? Whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's righteous, Jesus said to dwell on those things, but we think about what bad might happen to us or to our family or to our children. Fear does that. Fear also works in lack. We fear we won't have enough. Well, Jesus said he would make sure we always have enough. Now, I'm not talking about being lazy or being addicted to stuff. Following the Lord, Jesus said, you'll always have enough. And even if you don't have enough, He's enough. You see, that's how Jesus lived. And Jesus wants you and I to find ourselves in the same way he found himself. So it's funny. Fear has so many things. The fear of pain. The fear of pain caused by loss. And so you grab a hold of things so you won't ever lose them. You plan ahead so you won't ever have lack. The fear of rejection, what's that do to us? Well, it keeps us from loving. Let's see, Jesus said love, but we got hurt and we got rejected, so I'm going to protect myself from that pain. Yeah, you know, fear is always driven by self. It's not from him. It's always driven by self. The fear of rejection. Oh, this is a good one. I love this one because I know it well. The fear of failure. What does the fear of failure do to you? Well, I don't fail anymore. Yeah, because you don't try. God has given you a garden to grow, and he's trying to teach you to grow a garden, and you won't do it because you tried once and it hurt. You failed. And so to keep from feeling that pain, we just don't do it anymore. So who's protecting you? It's dark. It's fear. It's a spirit. The fear of there's so many I can't even say them. The fear of loneliness. What will humans do to stay away from being lonely? Fear drives that. The fear of disappointment. That's probably one of the worst ever. The fear of the unknown. You see, those things, we think those are protecting us. When all the time it's a spirit. Why was Gideon threshing wheat in the bottom of a hole? Because of the fear of the Midianites. Now, the Midianites numbered over 135,000. They were like sand covering the whole country. They were powerful. They had done it for decades over and over and over again. He was sure that he was doing the right thing. Fear was keeping him in a hole. Is fear keeping you in a hole? It wants you to think it's wisdom, but it's not the voice of the Lord. It wants you to think that it'll protect you when it's here to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil is about. So fear is so damaging. Fear always promises a solution based on self-effort. Try harder. Do more. Duck farther. Put up a thicker wall and that'll protect your heart. I'm very familiar with this thing. I know a lot about it. And I'm telling you, it does nothing but hurt you long run. Jesus is the vine. That's where we go for life. We don't go to fear. So, y'all know what happened. And you love this verse. We always love this verse. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What takes the place of his spirit in your life?" Hard question. Ask him and he'll start exposing it because God wants to set us free. But you have to want to be free. You have to want to be free more than you want to not give in to what you're afraid of. And first step to being free from the spirit of fear is to ask God to show you. God, show me, is fear. Remember, the first step's peace. It starts with this rock we build our lives on. The second step is, God, expose the hooks in me, the places in me where fear is controlling my behavior, my choices, my actions, my thoughts. Where is fear controlling me? Fear has a lot of different names. Lots of different names. Anxiety, worry, fretting. It comes out physically in our bodies through tics and jerks and stomach problems and back problems. Fear has 1,000 expressions out here, but it's one thing. And if you ask Jesus to show you fear, Where's fear controlling you? He'll show you. Your friends will help you. You could ask them, right? You can ask your friends. So, Jesus, you're my salvation. You're my foundation. You're my rock. You're my protector. You are my source of life. I'm not afraid of the dark. That's the next step on this journey. And until you pass that step, you're not going to go any farther. Now, I know we all deal with it at different levels. I'm not saying it's complete. I'm saying there's places in all of our lives where we're dealing with fear. There just is. If God's called you to great things, which He has because you're a son of God, then you're going to have to deal with this spirit. So today, I'm just going to ask the Lord to help us. Yeah, I told y'all, I want to go on into Judges chapter 6, verse 25, because after he dealt with fear, Gideon did an amazing thing. That's the next thing we're going to look at. But today, I think we're going to stop on fear. You don't have to go home with this. You don't have to. Jesus will set you free from this thing. What is it you're afraid of? Fear deals with things. You know what fear is always like? You go back to children's thing. What are children afraid of? What's in the dark? What's in the closet? What's under the bed? They're afraid of what they can't see it. A spiritually sensitive child can sense things that you and I don't sense. And what they're sensing is darkness. They just can't see it, and they're afraid of it. Fear always works in the unknown. What might happen to you if you do this? What about if you lay your life down? What about if you say yes to this? What if you don't protect yourself? It's always, you don't know. Does anyone in here know the future, what's going to happen tomorrow? Jesus said you don't. You can't say, I'm going to go to this city and do that, and I'm going to go here and do this. Well, if the Lord's wills, you are. But if He doesn't, you're not. You see, the enemy always works with what's over here behind that wall. I can't see it. That's fear. Now, am I going to let what might happen to me determine my behavior, my choices, and my action? You see, our destiny's already been set. The trajectory's already been set. But how your life ends up is going to depend upon what you do with what you're hearing from the Lord now. You don't have to leave here today controlled by fear. You can lay that down. And that spirit won't have any more right in your life. And that's what happens. You lay it down, Jesus will come. And that spirit's hook goes away. And you'll be free to be who God's created you to be, which is an amazing person. But right now, maybe you're not being who God wants you to be. Well, fear is probably playing a part in that. So, let's all stand up if y'all don't mind. I have a mighty warrior about to play the piano or keyboard or whatever that is. Yeah, come on up, the ministry team. So come up. Because I know when you deal with this spirit, you're going to need help. Because when something is a part of me, like my accent, I can't change my accent. I know I sound like I'm from Boston, but I'm not, and I can't make that stop. That was a joke. People from Boston talk not like me. You see, this fear gets so ingrained in us that sometimes we can't even point out where it comes from, but we know it's there. Fear of failure, fear of dying, fear of ruin, fear of poverty, fear of loneliness, fear of the unknown. See, it's so tricky. So this morning, we've got two teams that would like to pray with you. If it's something God has already put in your heart, then don't leave here without dealing with it. Also, we're here to pray for physical needs. If you have any kind of physical need or in your life, God wants to intervene. God wants to come into you. He wants to interfere in your life. So let's let Him do it. Maybe you haven't chosen to follow Jesus yet. Maybe you haven't said, I'm all in, God. All in. You see, with Jesus, there's not a partial in. It's all in. Well, I'll obey you, God, but. No. It's all in with Him. Maybe you've never said, God, I'm all in. I want to be all in. I don't know. Don't let fear stop you. Fear is going to say, don't do it because you don't know what's going to be. Trust Him. He loves you. He is love and He is peace. And He died for you. So this morning, if you need Jesus and you want to be all in, these guys would pray with you. If you want to deal with something in your life where you see, might even suspect fear, we want to pray with you. And Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. So Father, I just thank You for this morning. Thank You for the ushers and the worship team and the children's workers, God, the history makers, everything that You're doing today for each one that's here. The life that came into this room when You walked in the room, God, I thank You for that life. I thank You that You care about us. You care about people. Thank You for the way Kay has been impacting us for years as an elder and just impacting us as who she is. And God, we just say more influence in our lives in the future from her. I pray that compassion and love that she carries would get splash onto all of us. So God, I ask right now that You would help us see where we are allowing this hook, this spirit, an open door in our lives. So God, would You just show each one of us if there's something that You want us to deal with this morning? God, we believe You set the future. You set the trajectory of our lives. Nothing from our past, nothing from the enemy, nothing from this world can stop what You're doing. So Jesus, I just say we're going to go with You. We believe You, God. We just thank You, King. Amen. God bless you. The communion table is still open, and we would love to pray with you and visit with you.